A Russian journalist has turned up in Ukraine days after his death was reported. To explain this, a European correspondent from Deutsche Welle, Ina Kamil, spoke to my co-host Tom Mann about this and other news from the continent.
Well, it's a bit of a bizarre story that's unfolded over the last couple of days. So, yes, as you said, so this Russian journalist who was reported to have been shot dead, he was reported to have been shot in the back in Kiev, has turned up alive and well at a news conference in Ukraine just after a day after his supposed death. Apparently, the head of the Ukrainian security service told reporters at this conference when he came out to reveal that he had not, in fact, died, that they had worked together to fake his death in order to catch people who were allegedly trying to kill him. So apparently Ukraine's SBU, who is like Ukraine's security service, they learned of this so-called serious plan to kill him a couple of months ago, and 1 month ago they warned him about it. Now, this journalist, his name is Arkady Babanchenko, and he had actually, people had feared that he'd actually become, you know, the latest critic of Putin to die in this kind of circumstances, which has happened before. He does write for the liberal opposition newspaper, and six of their correspondents have actually been murdered for real. So the fact that the Ukrainian security service has cottoned onto this plan and come up with this rather extreme measure is quite intriguing, really. Apparently, they have arrested one person in connection with this alleged plot. They say the only details we really know about that is that he was the middleman of this plot, apparently, but we don't know much besides that at this stage.
Obviously, I read that his family didn't know. No one really knew that this plan was in action. What's likely to happen to this journalist now he's revealed that he faked his death?
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the first things he actually did was apologize to his wife and family and colleagues, of course, because he didn't tell anyone about this plan. The only people who knew about this plan were the Ukrainian security services. What happens now is still quite unclear. We haven't heard from him really since this news conference yesterday. It's likely he'll be spending quite a bit of time with his family, possibly explaining himself. And why he had to do what he did. It's unlikely that he will return to Russia anytime soon, particularly given, you know, the circumstances of what happened here. When he was allegedly killed, when the news broke there, Russia very strongly denied any involvement, of course, and now they're calling, you know, they're basically calling it a Ukrainian version of propaganda. So it's likely that he'll still clear from Russia for quite some time.
Now, last week when we spoke, there was belief that Italy had found a prime minister and was soon to form government. And what's happened since then?
Yeah, it's gotten worse, unfortunately, in Italy. So some more talks are being held to overcome this political turmoil that's kind of broken out. And the stock markets have been hit pretty badly because 3 months after elections in March, there is still no government, despite promising talks being held a week ago, as you mentioned. Last week, President suggested Carlo Cottarelli to be the Prime Minister designate and form a government, but this hasn't actually happened. They have been unable to form this government, in partly because they wanted to appoint a Eurosceptic leader, Pablo Savona, to the post of finance minister. However, the president has vetoed this. He said, no, you can't do that. If you have a Eurosceptic finance minister, that could cause a lot of issues. And so basically they're back to square one again. And, you know, worst case scenario, a snap election could be called at any time because these two populist parties have been unable to work together to form a government that pleases the president. One of the possible outcomes of this, one of the members of this government that has been cobbled together has suggested that they impeach the president. This has never actually happened before. They tried to impeach three previous Italian presidents, but even though you have the approval of both houses of parliament, the actual decision finally rests with the Constitutional Court. And that was the leader of the Five Star Party, Luigi Di Maio, who is urging Parliament to impeach the president. At this stage, that's looking fairly unlikely. So the other choice is either they manage to form a government that matches what the president would like to see, sort of keeping those Eurosceptics out of those higher-up positions, which I think is what is concerning most people at the moment, or, as I mentioned, possibly calling fresh elections.
So is this situation likely to be resolved quite quickly? It sounds like it's reached a boiling point after months of no resolution.
Yeah, I mean, it needs to be solved as quickly as possible because, yes, a government, you know, 3 months without a government is not good for any country. If fresh elections are still called, the 29th of July has been thrown around as a possible date, and that is pretty soon. That's just under a couple of months away. So that is definitely a possibility. But yes, I mean, it needs to be solved soon because, you know, when you've got these Eurosceptics within government who are attempting to form government, it can really affect the stability of the euro and the eurozone. The markets are really being affected because of this. The Italian economy is really affected by this. And yeah, a solution really needs to occur soon if anything is to be resolved.
I'm speaking to our Europe correspondent from Deutsche Welle, Inka Mules.